If it's locally owned,
it's Copper Road.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Road.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Road.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Road.
And that brings in Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle to help us wrap up the week. How are you?
Good. I noticed that we were just both just moving to the beat.
It's a good song, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It is. I love that you do that.
It's a busy week for Carborough, as always. Orange County earlier today held an affordable housing summit in St. Thomas More Catholic Church. This was supposed to have taken place in January and got snowed out, so rescheduled. But a whole bunch of people coming together to discuss this very important issue, and you were there earlier today.
I was. And, you know, Aaron, I bet there were a couple of hundred people there. I mean, when I looked around the room, you know, I saw folks, not just elected officials, but people who work with affordable housing organizations, persons who live in affordable housing, staff members of municipalities and governmental agencies were there. And they had us, of course, assigned to different tables so that we were all mixed up with, you know, like not all the elected officials were sitting together, which is always nice because we were all mixed up.
Were all 200 people there as participants in or representing different organizations? Or?
Yeah. I think it was a mix of everything. And, you know, all the organizations were represented. A lot of people came to just participate. I mean, you could have just been off the street and said, I want to attend. Okay. But I know they did target, you know, all the traditional providers and all the traditional areas. And it was really, it was very, very informational. It was interactive. It was, I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. And I think that it also is something that will start to occur maybe on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, a pretty robust affordable housing program in almost every town and county entity in the county now, and I know those professionals and some of the elected official counterparts get together, I think once a quarter, and so this is like a natural outgrowth of that, just to kind of be a broader brush, if you will, of larger segment of the community. But one of the really helpful parts of this conference or this workshop, what you want to call it, was a PowerPoint presentation that gave, oh my gosh, so many statistics and a summary of where we are, where we're going, the challenge facing everyone, and it was an awful lot to digest. And afterward, the organizers said they would email it to everyone who was registered, and even if you weren't, I'm sure if you reached out to any affordable housing provider or any elected official that was there, were a lot that were there. We could refer you to where you could get a copy of that, because it was really full of a lot of good information.
Really. So what were the big takeaways?
Well, you know, they asked after the presentation, the questions. I don't have my notes in front of me, but it was kind of like this. You know, what did you learn from the presentation? You know, what are some really big themes you learned? What are some challenges? And, you know, what are some first steps or what can we do? And, of course, you know, the challenges are, you know, how overwhelming, mm-hmm. really, the problem is. Some 30%, I believe, of our county lives in a certain percentage, you know, started out with what is affordable housing, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of talked about, you know, up to 30% of adjusted mean income, and then, you know, on up to 60 to 80%, and then above 100 adjusted gross income, I guess. But it was really startling almost to find out that very lowest group isn't really being addressed in our county. Mm-hmm. I guess 30 to 80% is where we've been doing, but most of our efforts have been most successful in the county by way of certainly rental and some degree of affordable, you know, housing, like ownership. So that was one startling thing. There was some of the slides illuminated the disparate impact on African Americans, mm-hmm. and you know how there's clearly also a racial divide in terms of these inequities, and so, you know, some discussion of that, and then just kind of, you know, looking at, you know, where we've been able to make some headway in affordable housing, and what opportunities we might still have. And you know, one of the areas that they talked about was this, you know, kind of rehabilitating current old houses, you know, mm-hmm. kind of keeping them as they are, them affordable. And so that was an interesting discussion as well. That, in addition to the problem where we have someone go in and tear down affordable houses, and then they build housing that's not affordable, you know, with maybe a few, you know, a few units for affordable housing, and the payoff when you get that, you know, the trade-offs when something like that happens.
Yep. And a lot of those are for 15 years, and then it reverts to,
all the challenges of that, you know. Lots of challenges people identified, as we're all aware, you know, decreased funding from the federal government, decreased money from the state government, you know, limited local authority, and getting even more limited by the day, but, you know, just inability to be maybe as imaginative as we would like to be. But we did talk about, you know, what we can try to do at the local level in terms of looking at all of our, you know, various land use ordinances. You know, how can we revise them so that we're able to allow, you know, more accessory type structures while balancing the neighborhood interests? How can we amend them so that we might be able to allow more, you know, tiny homes, peewee homes, those kind of affordable houses, because that helps with more housing, and it also helps the landowner who gets to earn a little income. So some strategies like that, lots of, they're also, and this is always very, I think, heartfelt. A few folks who live in affordable housing, you know, gave their speeches, you know, kind of went up and talked, you know, about, one person talked about, you know, how she got in with Habitat Humanity, you know, some 25 years ago or so. And she is a wonderful spokesperson for how happy she was to own her own home and have several bedrooms and be able to, she just paid off her house, you know.
Wow.
And she goes and you know, talks to her coworkers about, you know, she's in some type of a position at the university. She talks to her coworkers about, this is how you can own your own house. And then another story from another person who was living in an apartment year after year after year, and then one day went in and they tripled her rent, mm-hmm. and she couldn't afford it anymore. She ended up actually living in her car for a few months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, until she was able to land on her feet. And again, just, you know, the stories of people in our community members, and, you know, that's what it was about today, our efforts and how we can try to, you know, work to continue to address this problem.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and I'll ask the same question. We've kind of been talking about this with Chapel Hill in regard to the mobile home park up on Weaver Dairy and what can be done for them. And one of the things that has come up has been kind of leveraging town-owned land and turning that into affordable housing, whether it's tiny homes or something else, homes that people can actually purchase or rental units. Is there town-owned land in Carborough that can be leveraged for that?
I think mainly our efforts to date, because we don't have as much town-owned land, but have been certainly toward the Green Tract. Mm-hmm. And that came up today also several times. And, you know, this idea that, I mean, gosh, that's a property that all three jurisdictions own, and it is definitely a priority of all governing boards, and I think we're definitely moving toward that, and I think that was made clear today.
What are the next steps for Carborough?
In terms of
affordable housing.
Well, I mean, we have our we have this wonderful Affordable Housing Task Force report that has a lot of initiatives that we're trying to implement, and our staff are tremendously overworked, understaffed staff. It continues to plug away at them. Our newly formed commission of citizens, it used to be, you know, predominantly elected officials, and now it's citizens with a liaison, continues to look at those and is, you know, revising policies related to that task force report, giving feedback to staff about, you know, policies they're bringing back to us. In fact, some of them I know tie in a little bit to a discussion we're going to have about Lloyd Broad in a minute. Mm-hmm. Well, here's another example, too. We had a policy that, in terms of the board, we have a policy that was from several years ago about how the board could agree whether or not to waive the fees that an affordable housing provider would incur to build affordable housing in Carborough. And in the other night, we were presented with that the question of that policy, and we voted as a board to say, you know, we waive those fees. Mm-hmm. We will waive those fees for an affordable housing provider that's building affordable housing, and so that'll be a change to our policy to just say that's an area where we know we can help bolster, you know, our affordable housing community.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org is the town's website for more information about town government goings-on. You mentioned Lloyd Broad. That came up at Tuesday night's meeting a few nights ago of the Board of Aldermen. What was the discussion there? Some neighbors were there presenting.
Yeah, they were there. And I will say what's interesting, too, several So at the end of this meeting this morning, all the tables reported back on on what their table had talked about. And several tables, such as mine, really applauded how the Northside Neighbor Initiative works and how that how the Northside community works together really to try to preserve the character of the community and help each other and so forth. Well, of course, you know, so Tuesday night, representatives from the Lloyd Broad neighborhood that is in Carrboro, you know, came to our board and talked to us about some requests in an effort to carry on with that neighborhood and have request of us to pass some ordinances that, for example, are in Chapel Hill that we have not passed yet or adopted yet. And so they came to us with a variety of topics, and they had really, I want to say this, they had really done their homework, and they also had reached out to us somewhat previously, so we knew this was coming, but they had really done their homework and gave us very, very specific feedback as a neighborhood about how we thought they thought we could help them help improve conditions in the neighborhood, and there were several representatives of the neighborhood there, and a wonderful part about the neighborhood, Aaron, as I'm sure you know, it's a wonderfully diverse community. I mean, you know, we looked out in the audience, we saw, you know, different races, different ages, you know, different occupations, know, and everyone was all, you know, they're all part of the same neighborhood and on the same accord, you know, the same kind of issues. You know, one of the big topics there has to do with occupancy, and there's at least one house, and, you know, perhaps more coming, which is what we're trying to stop, that is really out of character with the neighborhood, that can, you know, appears to be able to house, you know, 5+ occupants, almost like a mini dorm of sort. And that's something that, you know, we could try to attempt to regulate in some way with an occupancy type limit, such as Chapel Hill has, you know, X number of unrelated people living together. So that's one we're going to look at. You know, another is size compatibility in some way to try to figure out how zoning standards could be revised so that they're more compatible. The question of parking enforcement. Our chief was there, and it was really good because he could hear their concerns and address some of them and explain part of what we're doing. Evidently, some of the markings that are there are inconsistent with what's in our town code, and so we're looking to clean that up so that we can have consistent enforcement and not have it be a safety issue, which it kind of is right now.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, one of the points they made was the way the parking's going on right now, you're not sure if a fire truck could get through there. So,
oh, yeah.
So part of it's that. They asked us about rental registries. I bring this up often because in Ohio we have these rental registries in each town. Like you can actually look and see, you know, who, you know, landlords have to register if they rent out properties. They even have to say how much it is,
yes,
and all that.
Yeah.
Well, in North Carolina, there's you're not allowed to have rental registries. So we're trying to figure out how we could have one, you know, because you could always have a voluntary rental registry of some sort, but if you had a way of knowing who all rented to who, and if there was some type of a way to, you know, to hold perhaps, you know, renters more accountable or landlords more accountable,
yes,
in neighborhoods. And I think that's why, for example, in my hometown of Athens, Ohio, they have rental registries. This is something, you know, not unusual for college towns to kind of want to know, you know, how we can keep track of who all's renting in the town.
I can imagine that would be useful for a renter who's looking for housing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it absolutely is. And in fact, yeah, because you could Google today in Athens, Ohio and see what rooms are for rent for how much and everything.
I remember I was looking for an apartment in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and we were looking at apartments. We didn't look at rental houses because where do you go? There's not really a go-to place for that.
Exactly. And, you know, and there are a lot of houses in Carrboro that are rented in that fashion. So that's something that we've been investigating. And you know, they made this point, too, that these big houses, these larger bedroom rentals, should those be more accurately classified as rooming houses or boarding houses? You know, because those are still in our codes, right?
Yeah,
in fact, you know, I kind of think of a boarding house as kind of, you know, like the new Airbnb or something.
Yes.
You know, they kind of seem similar. So is there a way to kind of have some categorization of those so that they're regulated, you know, in a different way? So anyway, they just that was a lot of what they came and talked to us about. They also gave us some ideas about this crosses town lines, and is there some countywide way to share data, you know, on different landlords, different developers, different people who kind of work around the rules? I mean, they had some really good intimate knowledge for us of how developers can develop something and say they're going to live there for a while and then kind of skirt out and go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And some food for thought for us to give our legislative delegation, I think, when we meet with them this spring.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, again, townofcarborough.org, the website. We got to let you go in a second, but before we do, the issue that everyone's talking about this week, we had Gene Boldick on last hour to talk about this as well, gun violence, nationwide, statewide, and even locally. Obviously, and you mentioned it just a couple of minutes ago that home rule being what it is in Carborough, there's not much that town governments can do in terms of their legal authority, but what are some steps that can be taken locally?
Yeah, no, it's tremendously disappointing. You know, we've talked about this over the years where we used to be able to sensibly say places where we thought that guns didn't belong, and time and time again, the state overrules, you know, what we come up with. The other night, our board asked me to write a letter to all of our businesses in Carborough that you might have magazines that are gun magazines or ammunition magazines or whatever, and request them that they not have them in prominent view, to have them place it in a, you know, part of the store where it's just not jumping out in front of you. And I think that's a laudable idea, a good idea. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think someone on our board, it may have been Randy, mentioned that she spoke to someone maybe at Harris Teeter or something about it, a manager, and they thought that was a good idea.
That is a good idea.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm in the process of trying to get that finalized and get that out in an effort just to kind of, I don't know, tone down the message and kind of maybe get that out of immediate view of everyone. I mean, I'm, you know, I think we all recognize Second Amendment rights, but I, you know, I think that we all also are really, you know, sad this week. So, yeah. As we are, unfortunately, almost every week.
Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.